Y'all ready? Y'all ready?
Yeah.
Let's go. Come on.
Tiger Rag Radio is on the air.
Let's crank this thing up.
We're statewide, breaking down the latest happenings with LSU athletics.
This is us.
Hear from the coaches.
Our time is now with LSU basketball.
The players.
We're having fun and we're working, baby. That's it, baby.
The recruits.
One way or another, we're going to make history.
And those who cover the Fighting Tigers of LSU and the SEC.
LSU is the best job in football.
It's 2 hours of nonstop LSU talk.
I came here to win. We're going to win immediately.
Tiger Rag Radio is brought to you by Cummins. Cummins creates power solutions that the world depends on. Louisiana Beef Industry Council. Boudreaux's Electrical Services. Sunshine Quality Solutions. Super Chevy Dealers. And Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. Get ready to talk Tigers with producer Case Kieschnick and our host, Todd Horn, Jeff Palermo, and Glenn Gilbo.
Players that are better people than they are players.
This is Tiger Rag Radio, live from Super Chevy Dealers Studio.
Welcome back to Tiger Rag Radio from the Super Chevy Dealers Studios. Jeff Palermo, along with the editor for Tiger Rag Magazine, Glenn Gilbo, and joining us now, college baseball analyst, former LSU Tiger and current owner of the Baton Rouge Rougarou and Lake Charles Gumbo Gators joining us here on Tiger Rag Radio. Ronnie, thanks a lot for spending some time with us. We should also mention that you are also heavily involved in with the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame, and we're going to get into that here in just a few minutes as far as the induction ceremonies, which will be taking place not this weekend, but the following weekend in Natchitoches. And Ronnie, first of all, wanted to ask you some LSU baseball questions, and I was listening to you on your show, Sports Shorts Radio. It was the night after LSU lost the SEC opener to Vanderbilt, and you said it then, Ronnie, that this team is not going to be winning many games because they couldn't. If we remember, that was a bad loss. Gavin Gidry gave up a home run late. I think it was a walk-off homer, if I remember right. And you said it right there, that this is not shaping up to be a really good team. How did it fall so fast here for Jay Johnson and company?
Well, I hated to be right. And I actually won a little friendly wager with our guy, Casey McKenzie, the GM of the Rougarou. We had an over under 14 wins in the SEC, and I took the under. And
you won that by a landslide.
I think I collected in early on that one. But that, you know, I just think it was a combination, right? Name one pitcher who had a good year from like at the end of the year, had a good year, and I think you're probably going to say Sheeran out of the bullpen. He was probably their best reliever for 80% of the season. Now he struggled at the end because they overextended him. He's a guy who should be a one inning guy, two innings max, and they kept trying to stretch him, and so his numbers got inflated at the end. I think you can say that William Schmidt had a nice year, but I don't think William Schmidt had the year he thought he would have.
No.
I think going into the season, William Schmidt's expectations from a standpoint of ERA and strikeout to walk ratio and all those, the batting average against and all those things, I think he thought he would be better. He had a good solid year. I think for a third starter, William Schmidt, you'd have been really happy with his year, but you tried to, he needed to be a Saturday guy. And then everybody else had a down year. Every single other pitcher had a down year, had a year worse than they ever thought they would have.
Including Cason Evans. He was, hurt, he was not having a good year.
Yeah, I mean, Cason Evans had a couple of extremely great outings, but then he had a bunch of that weren't.
Right.
And so, you know, and Cason Evans surely didn't have a Friday ace type of year, you know, in the SEC. And so you had a bunch of guys that had bad years, and then you had a bunch of offensive guys. You know, every single one of your transfer portal guys, you know, had a bad year. Every single one of them, not one good one. So, in this day and age where you're paying guys money in the transfer portal to plug and play, and for them to come in and be starters and play right away, if you went 0-for-4, basically, you're not going to overcome that.
You're talking to Ronnie Rance here on Tiger Rag Radio, and I think the portal players were disappointing, but really, people forget how bad the pitching was, including returning pitchers. You know, really, the best pitcher on the weekend, I think, was Cooper Moore, the transfer. and he got hurt early in the season in the Oklahoma series. And Oklahoma barely wins the last two games of that series there in Omaha. Now, Ronnie, how did you make that deduction so early? Because you know a lot of what happened had not happened yet. How were you able to do that?
Well, because the signs were there from a standpoint of they were walking too many guys, hitting too many guys. The catching was really bad at the beginning of the season. Now, the catching improved tremendously the second half of the year. And I think as, you know, as Cerna and Aaron Beatty got more and more experience and started swinging the bat better, that helped them defensively. But the first half of the year, they were not very good defensively, which led to a lot of wild pitches. And then, you know, you just had too many walks, too many hit batters. And then defensively, they were not good. If you remember, especially the first half of the year, they were one of the worst defensive teams in the SEC. So that combination of you know, fielding 960, 965, was between 960 and 965 is where they were all year. And then you throw in, you know, walking and hitting batters, and it just – That right there was all you needed to know, that this was not headed in the right direction.
And you know, Ronnie, when that portal class was signed, they were highly ranked. Nobody was thinking, oh gosh, Jay got a bad portal class. I mean, Zach York, Trent Carraway, Seth Darter, those guys came highly recommended, kind of like the class right now. You know, Beano Waters, Cade Curlin from Florida, Jason Walks from Tulane, Dawson Park from Texas State. On, you know, the portal's just kind of fool's gold sometimes. What do you think of the new crop coming in?
Well, I think the new crop's more battle-tested, and they're also from probably a little bigger programs as well. You know, last year's team came from a lot of mid-major type stuff. I mean, Carraway obviously had Oregon State on the chest, but remember, Oregon State's not Big 12 per se, and he didn't have a good year. He had a great postseason, and that's what put him on the map. You know, Grand Canyon and High Point and teams like that. Now we're talking about guys being Florida, a guy with lots of hundreds of at-bats at Florida, a guy who for 2 years was the best player on Tulane's team and had a 70-something game on base streak. I mean, these are proven commodities at big-time programs. So the Texas State shortstop was their best player until he had a little off-the-field altercation fight or something with a teammate is what I'm hearing. But
it was on the field, but it was right after the game with a teammate.
Right.
Yeah. But he had a good career at Texas State 2 years.
Yeah. I mean, he was their guy, right? You know, I mean, that was a big loss for them going into the
sure.
second part of the year at the end of the year. But so, you know, I just feel like, they've got guys with more experience from bigger programs that are a little more battle tested. I think you know what you're going to get a little bit more. And keep in mind, you know, they don't have to be the man over here. They can just be one of the guys, right? When they're not asking these guys to necessarily just carry teams on the back. They just do your job, you know, come in here and do your job. And so I definitely think, and look, Jay Johnson's a great coach. I mean, he's going to learn from his mistakes. You know, he's going to make adjustments. You know, he's not going to do the same things over and over, expect different results. So I have no question that Jay will get it figured out. And it seems like he has already done that so far.
Yeah. And the funny thing though, about the portal, Ronnie, is, you know, you mentioned the smaller schools those guys came from, but yet the year before, Daniel Dickinson was from Utah. And, you know, Paul Skeens was from Air Force. I mean, there have been guys from those lower-level schools that do well. What I'm thinking is, unlike in high school recruiting, when you're in that portal, you really got to be sharp at your talent, at your talent acquisition from a coach's perspective, huh?
Yeah, oh, no, there's no question. And look, the other thing, too, is that with the transfer portal and with the NIL, you know, the talent is spread out a little more. You know, you look at Omaha, right? No one back from a year ago. Only North Carolina been there twice in the last 3 years. There's more diversity. There's more parity in college baseball. And because of that, you know, guys are wanting to go where, one, they get paid, and two, they get the opportunity to play. And they're not as worried about what your locker room looks like or how many fans come to your games. That's not the selling point that it was 5-6 years ago where LSU had the advantage. Now the first question is, how much are you going to pay me, and am I starting? Am I going to get the chance to pitch so many innings, or am I going to get a chance to how many at-bats? And those are the guarantees that the players want. And so they would rather go someplace else where they get the money. And so because of that, you've got to do your due diligence. You've got to recruit. You've got to evaluate. You've got to be able to say, okay, what does a player at Utah Valley State, you know, how is that going to translate? You know, you have to dig in on them. You can't just look at the numbers.
Ronnie, coming up, it is the Hall of Fame, Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame induction ceremonies in Natchitoches, June 25th to the 27th. Certainly a LSU flavor to it, as it normally does. Former LSU coach John Brady, former LSU women's basketball superstar Sylvia Fowles, and then also Todd McClure, the former LSU All-American and longtime Atlanta Falcons center. Just quickly, if you could, kind of give us your thoughts on inducting these three former Tigers into the Hall.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, Warren Morris in particular is somebody near and dear to my heart. From when I played with him, a guy I knew going back to when I was 13 or 14 years old. I first met Warren back in Alexandria, and so have a long relationship with him. What a class act and a great guy he is. And of course, you know, people remember him for the home run 30 years ago against Miami to win the national championship, but he was much more than just that moment, right? I mean, he had a great career, was a major leaguer, was an Olympian, was a great player at LSU, and a great teammate. So happy for him to get the Ambassador Award to be going into the Hall of Fame. And, you know, Todd McClure, obviously friends with Todd and close to the McClure family over the years with Trey and Tana and Leo, their dad, and all that. And just a great family. From an athletic standpoint, just a, you know, hardworking, do it the right way type of family. And so for Todd, you know, he played, was a part of bringing back the magic under Jerry DiNardo, and then went on to have a great career, unfortunately, with the Atlanta Falcons, not the New Orleans Saints, or had to, of course, be the team that, you know, as a Saints fan growing up, the team you hate the most is the Falcons. But he had a great career with Atlanta. And, oh, by the way, working with the Falcons now, Matt Ryan just hired him. He just moved to Atlanta and has a job with the Falcons, a big-time job with the Falcons right now.
Ronnie, how, if people want to go to Natchitoches for that weekend, as it's getting close, how can they go now? How can they register?
Yeah, it's not this weekend coming up. It's the next, the final weekend. So we've got a great events going on. LASportsHall.com is the website. You can buy tickets to it. Some of the events are free. Some are you have to pay for the VIP seating. But it's awesome. You know, the 26th is probably my favorite day. It's the Friday before the induction because we have our celebrity bowling event in Alexandria at Four Seasons Bowling Center. This year's theme is 70s theme. It's a lot of fun. You dress 70s. We'll have 70s music. We'll have catered food, all you can drink. It's really a lot of fun for the whole family. You can buy tickets even if you don't want to bowl. They have cheaper tickets to just go to the event, eat lunch and stuff. That's on the 26th in Alexandria. And then on the 26th at night in Natchitoches, we have our Rockin' River Fest music, live music from 6 to 10:30 on the riverfront stage. Right across from the riverfront stage is Mama's Papa's in the blues room. We block off the street. You know, we take over those restaurants, and we have a VIP ticket where it's all you can eat and drink in there. And it's just a great environment. We'll do fireworks at 9:15. We'll introduce all the Hall of Famers on stage. And so I definitely recommend folks, you know, join us on the 26th, bring the family. And then on the 27th, we've got a junior training camp that's absolutely free for kids 7 to 17 years of age. You can go online at LASportsHall.com to register for that. You get a T-shirt, you get a Canes lunch. And then we got the Tim Brando luncheon, which starts at 12:30. Timmy B hosts a great luncheon that's laid back, a lot of fun over at the Riverside Reserve. And then, of course, the induction that night is live on LPB at 7 o'clock across the state of Louisiana. So chock full of events. The 25th, 26th, and 27th in Alexandria, and we hope folks will join us.
Ronnie, thanks a lot for your time, man. We appreciate it.
Fellas, thank y'all very much.
All right, that's Ronnie Rantz. We'll take a break. More of Tiger Rag Radio when we come back from the Super Chevy Dealer Studios.
Chevy trucks have you covered when the road takes you from smooth sailing to... Chevy Colorado will eat up some of the toughest terrains with five available drive modes. And Silverado and Silverado HD have the muscle to take you out for some serious... With multiple engine options and impressive towing, while Silverado EV is the perfect combo of performance and capability,
nice.
Making it a snap to hitch up this electric truck and hit the road. Wherever the road leads, Chevy trucks are right there with you. See your super Chevy dealers today.
And we're back with Tiger Rag Radio, live from Super Chevy Dealers Studio.
Back here on Tiger Rag Radio, Jeff Palermo inside the Super Chevy Dealers Studio, along with Todd Horn and Glenn Gilbo of Tiger Rag. Joining us now, it is Gary Smith, who works for NOLA.com, covers the Tulane Green Wave, and LSU's latest portal edition when it comes to baseball is a former Greenie and Jason Wax, who had two standout seasons at Tulane. And Gary's here to tell us a little bit about that. Gary, how are you doing tonight? Thanks a lot for joining us.
Doing great. Thanks for having me on the show. I go a long way back with Tiger Rag. I'm a University of Florida grad. I worked at Gator Bait Magazine from 1991 to 2007, and we got the issues of all of the magazines across the country. So I started reading Tiger Rag all the way back in 1991.
All right. All right. Long time reader.
Todd was there then. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's good. That is good stuff. Well, let's talk about this Florida native that LSU has gotten, and then Jason Wax. This kid arrived on the Tulane campus 2 years ago, and he hit right away and really had a good season his sophomore campaign and hit with a little bit more power. How did you see him develop over 2 years there at Tulane?
Yeah, he started off, you could tell how good he was right off the bat. His first two games of his college career as a freshman, he got two hits in each game, and he really never let, he was just a really consistent singles hitter. In most of his freshman year, he did not hit his first home run as a freshman until he hit two in the American Conference tournament at the end of last year. He picked up where he left off this year. Very, very good contact hitter. Walked the same number of times as he struck out for the year, 38 times. And he finally started developing the power later on this year. In fact, he had two home runs this year going into April, and he hit seven the rest of the way to add to his line drive approach he had before. Tiger fans got to see it a little bit in an absolutely miserable end to Tulane's baseball season. Jason Wax was one of the only bright notes down the stretch. He had three hits at Alex Box late in the season, including a home run and a double. As a hitter, he can do it all now. Once he added that power, he became a complete hitter, and that's what LSU's getting. I mean, he was by far and away Tulane's best player this season.
Hey, Gary, this is Todd. Was Wax, did it surprise you that he eventually settled on LSU? I know he was a highly, highly sought after portal.
No, in fact, we were joking. In fact, I was sitting next to Tulane's baseball SID when he hit the home run against LSU, and I was like, that might not be the only one he hits for this team in this stadium down there.
Now,
I had no inside knowledge at the time, but I knew he was a good enough player. He's a guy that could go play for LSU. I'm not saying he'll be an absolute star for LSU, but he's definitely a guy who I could tell would fit in with LSU, and with the way, with the NIL picture, with how much more he could get paid, it seemed like that might be and end up being his destination, as long as LSU was interested.
But he did choose LSU over like Tennessee and Florida
State.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, he had his pick of programs. There's no doubt about that. But last time I checked, LSU's won two national championships in the last four years, whatever it is. And FSU's still searching for that first national championship. He likes it in Louisiana. He's a Florida native. I knew he'd be going to a top program somewhere after the year if that was the direction he wanted to go, and I figured it kind of was.
Did he change the pronunciation of his name to match being a good masterful batter, or is that actually
unless he did it in high school, that's how he arrived at Tulane. He was Jason Wax the first day I interviewed him. Before he arrived.
Not a Joe Theismann.
This is not a Joe Theismann to Theismann situation, though. Right. No,
well,
not
Gary,
like that.
What was the Tulane SID's reaction to your little comment?
Oh, he agreed. I mean, we weren't, first of all, we weren't being serious, like, in terms of, but it was just the way Tulane season was going and just the reality of the situation, what Tulane can afford to pay baseball players. That was my thought on that.
Can he also play center field, you think?
I think he's a really good right fielder because his best asset in the field is he has an outstanding arm. He only had 2 assists because teams didn't run on him. They had the scouting report on him. He's an average defender other than that. He made a few errors late in the year, even got benched during a game sort of for his fielding, which there was a lot of uncharacteristic things going on with the Tulane baseball team late in this season. So I'm not – he could play center field for sure, but I think he's actually he's got – decent speed, but nothing special. I think his best position is right field, and where he's the most suited.
Personality wise, what's he like in the few times he had a chance to interview him?
Yeah, I mean he's fairly quiet. When I wrote a feature on him during the season, I made mention of it. He's not he lets other people promote him. He doesn't say a whole lot, but just comes across as a normal guy. He's a team first player. He's not a selfish guy. Just didn't say a whole lot when he was at Tulane.
Well, if he hits a bunch of doubles, a few home runs, and doesn't strike out much, he will fit in well at LSU. And he's got to love baseball too. You got to be on that same level with Jay Johnson in order to succeed. So we'll see what happens.
Yes. Yeah, and there's no doubt he's a baseball lifer. I mean, he's a guy he loves the game, and I think he's sort of what LSU was missing in a lot of ways this year. Now, whether obviously against SEC pitching, it's going to be a little bit of a different story, but he has all the ingredients to be successful there.
Great scouting report, Gary. Thanks a lot for coming on the show, and thanks for reading Tiger Rag all these decades.
Thanks for having me on.
All right, Gary Smith with NOLA.com. Good stuff there on Jason Wax, the newest player. Now we're going to hear from the horse's mouth, if you would. Jay Johnson, he'll join us when we come back. This is Tiger Rag Radio from the Super Chevy Dealer Studio.
I'm Richard Fontenot, president of the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. While I'm a fourth generation rice and soybean grower, you don't have to be a farmer to be a Louisiana Farm Bureau member. Membership has its benefits, from discounts on car seats, hotel rooms, and rental cars, to access to insurance you can count on to be there when you need, plus a whole lot more. We're 145,000 members strong, and we want you to join the Louisiana Farm Bureau family.
Visit lafarmbureau.org, the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation, the voice of Louisiana agriculture.
Let's go! We now return to Tiger Rag Radio, live from Super Chevy Dealers Studio.
Yeah, we're back here on Tiger Rag Radio. Jeff Palermo along with Todd Horn, Glenn Gilbo. Let's quickly get to our next guest. That is LSU baseball coach Jay Johnson. Coach Johnson, how you doing tonight?
Doing great. How are you guys?
We're doing well. So if the phone rings on the other end and you quickly disconnect with us, we understand why. We know how yes. This works.
Yeah, I think we're okay for a few minutes.
So. Okay, good. All right. So far, you've been able to bring in 5 players through the transfer portal. You know, last year you felt really good about the players you brought in through the transfer portal. What is it about this group, and specifically the position players that you've been able to bring in, that makes you feel like, okay, I really like what I got here. What did you do a little bit differently maybe this year when you were assessing it, other than not having to worry about obviously preparing for a game in the College World Series or the NCAA tournament?
Wow, that's a lot of questions right there. I think we've done pretty good at this. I think for 4 years we were awesome. Last year maybe struggled a little bit more. You said it. Definitely a little bit easier when you're not playing for a national championship for a number of reasons. I will say, something like this last 2 weeks probably taught me more than anything is how much more of a advantage you have if you're not playing right now. I mean, we really haven't had that experience very much the last 3 years or 4 years. And so we've been able to attack it, with a good plan. We've been able to spend more time, and that's important to the players you're recruiting, is that you can give them the right kind of attention, and I've done a good job so far. And I think if you're asking me specifically on the position players, it's just guys that can impact on both sides of the ball. They have, speed, power, solid hitting skills, and play good defense. And so it's just a little bit more of a complete player that we were going after. And I think we've been able to do a good job with that. And, you know, they fit well with the guys we have returning because we're excited about some of the things some of the position players did at the end of the season.
Hey, Jay, this is Todd. First question for you, and then I got a quick second follow-up. But the first question is, are you watching Georgia, Texas right now? Is your TV on or not?
Well, I actually stepped out. We actually have another recruit here, and we did have it on the TV. And so, yeah, just kind of watching that deal. And, yeah, you see how this postseason goes. It's just there's college baseball, and there's college baseball in the SEC, and right now those are two completely different things.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, one, this is kind of a bigger picture question, and I wanted to ask it because I want you to explain to the listeners and the fans what it means. But I understand that you want LSU to be the program or the school that really prepares players, whether they're high school recruits or portal recruits, what have you, for the major leagues. What does that mean?
Well, I think, you know, big picture, goal, mission, personal, like, accomplishment in coming here. Like, if you said you hit the jackpot, it'd be like, you know, when I walk out the door someday that somebody would talk about LSU baseball during this time, like they did when Coach Burtman was winning the national championships, or what Alabama football did for 17 years. That was kind of like my own personal deal. And the championships are easy to like see. They're much harder to get maybe than it appears in baseball. It's a different game than football, but you know, we're off to a good start with that, with having a couple. And then the only way you get there is to have major league players. And if you look back at Coach Burtman's national championship teams, the 2009 national championship team, there ended up being a lot of major league players on those teams. So the recipe is very simple. To do that, you have to develop major league players, and you have to recruit major league caliber talent players. And so that's where that kind of intertwines, is to be that type of program. You know, you're developing players for their dream, which is to be major league players.
Hey, Jay, Dawson Park, the shortstop you signed from Texas State, can he play? He played second base his freshman year. Can he also play third? And can Cade Curlin play third if you needed him to?
Yeah, he is a terrific, explosive athlete, Dawson. And, you know, he played short this year. He can play second, as you said, as he did as a freshman. He can play third. Really unbelievable throwing arm and a really good athlete. So I'm confident he'll be able to move around, you know, with Cade. I think he has like 189 starts or something like that at second base. And so the plan will be to work him there primarily, but he's also a good athlete, so might provide some versatility that maybe we're not aware of or he hasn't been able to show yet. But yeah, I'm excited about those guys. I think, you know, they have a lot of parallels to, you know, some players we had playing those positions a couple years ago in 25, and you know, really, really good adds for our team.
And Jay, are you looking to sign maybe three or four more from the portal and a couple of pitchers, or what can you tell us? Give us a hint about.
Yeah. Well, we got another one. We got a pitcher today.
Okay.
Not public yet. It will be soon. And we have another one here now. So, and they fit very well, you know, like, the one that we got today is pitched in a number of roles and could kind of possibly feel like that Cason Evans, Zach Callen deal in 25 and then emerge into a starter the following year. So we're very excited about that. And same with what we got with Landon Hood, who I thought was the best pitcher in the transfer portal, and why we pursued him hard and fast and excited to get him. I think those guys will complement the returners that we have. But, you know, it's real important to develop the guys that you have. And I definitely believe we have in-house guys that can and will perform at a high level next year. When you talk about Cason and William and Marcos Paz and the group of lefties, getting Cooper Moore back. So I like where we're headed with that. So, you know, maybe another arm or two, and you know, if Ken Griffey Jr. goes in the portal, you know, we'll probably go after him. But we feel good about the position player group right now.
Coach, you kind of took a unexpected gut punch earlier this week whenever Stephen Milam decided against all odds to come back to LSU. I know that ruined all your portal plans, everything you were trying to do to build your infield out. But so how are you going to accommodate his return?
Yeah, I just needed somebody that I could like look in the eye at my height. You know, we made sure. Very, very happy. You're talking about a player that I've known since he was in seventh grade. And, you know, so it's a great relationship. You're talking about a national championship winning shortstop, and you just guys don't make that decision very often to stay for that fourth year. And I think what I'm proud of him the most is like he knows what he has to do to become a major league player, and he just decided like, you know, I'm not ready to move on from this. And you don't get that very much nowadays. It doesn't happen in baseball a lot, so thankful that that's what he decided to do. That's what he wanted to do. Comes from a great family, and the big that was talk about a big lift for your team that was unexpected. It's you know those are the ones that sometimes make the difference for you and put you over the top. So very happy to have Steven back next year.
Beano Waters, what do you like about his game, Jay?
He's got power, but he doesn't have to sell out to get to it. His performance against highest level pitching is really good, and he's a good athlete as well. So I think there's a lot of parts of his game where he can contribute to us winning. He's a very smart, intelligent player, obviously coming from Notre Dame. And I think he will take well to our development, and the best is yet to come. He can be a really high impact player.
Is there anything in particular that has surprised you or caught your eye about this year's College World Series in particular? It's different.
Yeah, I think, you know, hats off to Troy for making the College World Series. I think they lost today, but, you know, being a mid-major coach for 10 years before I got to go to a place like Arizona, you know, and getting into a lot of regionals, but not really being able to get over the hump, like, I have a great appreciation for what that is. We played West Virginia in the Super last year, so a lot of respect for them and happy they finally broke through there. You know, I mean, the two of the better teams in the country, you know, playing tonight, North Carolina, a lot of respect for Coach Forbes. It's just complete teams. And then sometimes you have the team that gets hot, and that's Oklahoma, you know, who we played in Hoover, and they're playing great baseball right now. So just, you know, teams, it's not always the team of the best players. It's the team that plays the best. And, you know, I think we're kind of seeing that in how this postseason is shaking out.
The clarify on Landon Hood is the idea to see if he could be a weekend starter for you, or is he more of a...
Well, he can. No, he can. He can do both. He did both this year at Gonzaga, and he's a good one. And for me, like, this is about winning. And, you know, if you followed the back half of the season, you know, we did the job offensively and lost a lot of leads. And that was, you know, when we were down Cooper Moore and Kaysen, which stretched out what people needed to do. So I'm always like, win the one in front of you. So yeah, one of the best guys is going to pitch out of the pen, and it could be him. And he's had some successful experience doing that, but we have him for 2 years too. So something to keep in mind that, you know, but for a Coach Johnson team, we're going to get back to one of the better guys going out of the pen.
And with Park, he didn't finish the season with Texas State. There was an incident there, and the reputation that's built on it is, hey, the kid plays with an edge. Is that safe to say? Has he got an edge to him?
Well, if he does, we need more of an edge. And I just would say that, you know, with all this time that we've had, we look into everything and address things head on. And I'm very comfortable with who Dawson is as a person, and excited to have him here.
Jay, when you look at the freshmen and the way they were able to finish the year for you this year, especially Serna and Mason Braun, you have to be excited about them making a progression into next year. What are you looking for out of those two particular next year?
Yeah, they're very mature players. They got a great head on their shoulders, have good communication with them. I think it's just taken that next step. And I thought they took kind of another step as we got into league play I think they both finished in the top 10 in the SEC in league games and OPS, or right around there. So I like where they're headed as players. I think just becoming more complete in every facet of their game, and really fortunate and happy to have them here.
And William Patrick, has he got a good shot at starting at center?
Absolutely. If you could run like that, you would have a good shot at starting in the outfield. So.
All right, Coach. We'll let you get back there and run back into the clubhouse and get the deal done with these couple guys that are still lingering out there for you. But thanks a lot for your time tonight.
All right, guys. Have a good night.
All right. That is LSU baseball coach Jay Johnson. Let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about what Jay had to say here on Tiger Rag Radio. The East Baton Rouge Parish Library's dedicated millage continuation is on the June 27th ballot. This is not a new tax. It's a continuation of the library's existing dedicated funding source at a lower rate, 9.5 mils, which is 14.4% less than the rate approved by voters in 1995, 2005, and 2015. Without it, future library services could be reduced, including hours, collections, and programs. Early voting begins June 12th. Learn more at ebrpl.com/millage.
Now more Tiger Rag Radio, live from Super Chevy Dealer Studio.
All right, back here on Tiger Rag Radio, along with Todd Horn and Glenn Gilbo. What did you guys think of what Jay had to say?
I can't believe that we were able to talk to Jay Johnson for, almost 15 minutes with him announcing to us that he had just signed a pitcher. Yeah. It hadn't been announced yet. It will be coming shortly. And that he has another pitcher there with him right now, and yet he still was able to talk to us.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. That's why he's one of the best in the business. That's for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome. And we must have asked him seven questions. I hope they didn't lose the kid on account of us, live radio. The only thing he didn't do was give us a commitment on live radio.
Yeah. I think the other thing is that was cool is he admitted to watching the College World Series.
Well, he might have just been being entertaining. Maybe the kid wanted to watch it because he had it in there.
It's Texas and Georgia right now, and if you're involved in the SEC, you're watching that game.
Yeah.
You know, you got to see how that transpired. I don't think he's watched a lot of it. I don't think he was watching Bases Loaded, you know, during the NCAA regionals and all that.
I wonder if he sings Country Roads whenever West Virginia wins.
Yeah, he did say.
Call me back. Let's ask him.
I thought it was significant that he said, you know, not only did he have extra time from not being in Omaha, but also for not even making the postseason?
Yeah,
because you know, in his first year, he was in Hattiesburg for the regional, and then in 23 Chapel Hill,
24
Chapel Hill, and he said, "Yeah, you got more time to visit," you know, and that's one of the key differences about the portal and regular high school recruiting. You don't have nearly as much time, so you really got to have your talent evaluation on, and you know, also a complete picture of the player. And obviously, he spent a little extra time, sounded like, with Dawson Park, who got into a little argument or shoving match with a teammate right after a game, and that teammate had said something to him. So, you know, the kid could be a model citizen, just had that one situation. But he's a heck of a player.
I love the way Jay answered that question.
Yeah.
If he has an edge, we need an edge.
Yeah. They sure do. They sure do. You can't have a bunch of nice guys all the time. Yeah. That was the Astros' problem in the 90s. Had all these nice guys. You need some edge in there, here and there.
Yeah. No. All right. Well, we'll see how it works out. But a good stuff from Jay Johnson. If you just missed it, if you're tuning in, don't worry. You can catch Tiger Rag Radio anywhere where you get your favorite podcast. And also, the show is uploaded to YouTube. It'll happen in about 30 minutes or so. So let's take our final break of the show, come back, wrap things up here on Tiger Rag Radio from the Super Chevy Dealers Studio.
Tiger Rag Radio is back, live from Super Chevy Dealers Studio.
All right, back here on Tiger Rag Radio as we wrap up the show. Got to thank all our guests, William Most, attorney, Ronnie Rantz, college baseball analyst, former pitcher for the Tigers, Gary Smith, all-around good guy who covers Tulane for NOLA.com, and Jay Johnson was gracious with his time with us tonight despite having a couple of recruits, and looking forward to hearing who the new pitcher is that they've signed. It has not been publicly announced. And the thing I forgot to ask him is why he's not using the Tiger emojis, but maybe we'll get back to that later on in the summer. No LSU baseball here in the College World Series. Case Kieschnick, you're a lifelong Baton Rouge native, right? You grew up here?
Yes, sir.
Okay. What's it like in your mind not having LSU baseball in the College World Series?
It's a little dull. I mean, if we're being honest, you know, it's something that there's nothing really else going on in the summer.
Yeah.
If you're not into Major League Baseball, I know this year we got the World Cup going. But it's not much to do here in Baton Rouge, it feels like. You know, I just graduated from Louisiana Tech, and I was looking forward to coming back home for a Super Regional. You know, I was penciling it in at the start of this year that I'm sure we'd be hosting. We ended up not, of course, but... The thing that was interesting to me, I know he mentioned...
What do you mean, we? You're a journalist now, buddy.
Okay. That he mentioned that it was an advantage for them not being in Omaha this year in the postseason at all, that you can do a little bit more legwork with the recruits.
Yeah.
But to me, it feels like that LSU brand of being in the postseason every year, being in Omaha, does a lot of that work for them.
You know,
recruits want to go to LSU because they're in Omaha. So I wonder how that was different for him this year, if it was at all. But that's the thing that comes to mind for me, is just they're still getting these top recruits despite the fact that they maybe didn't have the outcome that they wanted to preseason.
Well, there's spots as far as these position players. I mean, you can plug them all in. Waters, Curlin, Park, Wax. I mean, all of them have a spot on this team. And I think that makes it... You know, even last year, it was just like, well, you didn't quite know. I mean, Tanner Reeves was supposed to be maybe the starting third baseman or something like that. I mean, there were guys that were coming back that you thought were going to take some of these spots. It all kind of shook out. Remember, they had like 3 second basemen they were trying to figure out who was going to play early on. So, but this year, you look at it, and as Jay confirmed with us, William Patrick's going to be your guy in center, and you're going to be rotating Serna and Aaron Beatty between catcher and DH. You basically, you could play a game tomorrow if you wanted to with this group.
Yeah, and I like I really like Park, and what you said, you know, he possibly could be an outfielder.
Yeah.
Because it is easier, I think, to go from playing infield to outfield than the other way around. I mean,
right.
Craig Biggio played outfield after catching and playing second base, not to keep talking about the Astros.
The Astros or Nick Saban with you, Glenn. One of the two.
Well, at least I'm not talking about emojis. Speaking of not having a lot to do during the summer, I don't think you explained that. Jay Johnson used to put an emoji on his tweet when he got a recruit. Is that what it was?
Yes.
And he hasn't done that. So maybe he'll put the emoji up tonight.
Maybe it was bad luck last year. That's what he said. I got to try something different.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, those emojis couldn't hit.
Wouldn't it suck being us if Nick Saban bought into the Astros ownership?
Look, you want me to talk about Springsteen? I'll do that. No, that was a great interview with Jay, man. He was really informative, and he answered the questions. I like the answer about Dawson and the edge, and you know, and he sounded like he made a little comment that these guys can do a lot of things.
Yeah.
Because that was the problem with some of the portal guys last year.
I think he mentioned it specifically for Beano Waters. He doesn't have to hit home runs.
Right, exactly.
And that's what they were counting on that with, obviously, York, and it didn't work out.
He said he has power without selling out.
Yeah. Right.
And I think the other important thing he said about Waters is that Waters did it against good pitching.
Yeah. All right, we got to go. That's it for Tiger Rag Radio for Todd, Glenn, Case, Jeff. We'll see you next week.
Tiger Rag is everywhere. Online at tigerrag.com. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Tiger Rag Magazine. Or follow us on Twitter at Tiger_Rag.